Welcome to the Let's Kill It podcast. I'm Janice T, former corporate dropout turned full-time entrepreneur, creator, and lifelong learner. Every single week, I bring you mindset hacks and personal growth tips inspired by real stories and experiences. So if you're an aspiring entrepreneur, online content creator, or someone who is really looking to grow your business or career and level up your life, well, you're in the right place. Thanks for spending some time with me today, and let the good stuff begin. Welcome to another episode of the Let's Kill It podcast. And today we are going to talk about why your amazing business idea made you exactly $0. And what you should think about the next time you launch a new product, a new offer, or even a brand new company. So today's episode was sparked off by a question, right? Which is why people, specifically entrepreneurs, business owners, why people launch products and then they hear crickets and wonder why nothing is working in my favor? Why isn't anything working out? The math is mathing, the numbers is stacking, the idea should work, and why is nothing working? So let me tell you a story. Several years ago, I met Trevor, a successful and very charismatic banker. He was 37 years old when I met him, and he decided that, you know what, banking is a really high-paying job, a really high-paying career, and I decided to open a restaurant business. I mean, Trevor decided to open a restaurant business. However, the food and beverage scene, I mean, the whole restaurant scene was already bustling. It was already so saturated, and there was no lack of options, really, for consumers. But Trevor had a brainwave. And so Trevor said to me, he said, you know, since people in Asia love matcha and they love egg tarts. And for the uninformed, by the way, egg tarts are a traditional puff pastry. I think it's from Hong Kong originally with creamy egg filling in the middle and it's quite yummy, right? So it's just this puff pastry, custardy, eggy puff pastry. And so Trevor was like, well, since people in Asia love matcha and they love egg tarts, why not make matcha flavored egg tarts? And at that point, there weren't many people, many businesses really offering matcha egg tarts at all, right? So he thought, why not combine two things that people in Asia love and then put them together and make it a product that the world has not yet really seen before, right? And Trevor was a fast action taker as well. Like within 2 months, he managed to secure a lease in central Singapore, had really high foot traffic. He hired an interior design team to renovate the cafe. He hired a logo and brand designer to do all the branding stuff. And, you know, he was open for business. I mean, Trevor was ready to go. He was really gearing up to make this launch a multi-million dollar success. And you know what? Trevor was a smart guy too, right? But there was just one problem, which is that on launch day, no one came. Apparently, not everyone thought matcha flavored egg tarts was a fantastic idea. And by the way, I completely made up that story. But the point I want to make is this. When we launch something as business owners and entrepreneurs, we often think, sometimes misguidedly, that if we are, you know, super excited about our offer, our product, our service, like obviously everyone else will be. But in reality, it's not so obvious. And just because you think this is a freaking amazing idea, and just because you think this is the best thing that came to planet Earth since sliced bread, does not mean that everyone else is gonna think the same way. Right? And in reality, it may not be true. And so I think as business owners, as entrepreneurs, before we get overly enthused with our next grand idea that will 1,000,000% take off, be it a startup idea, be it a new revenue stream idea, be it a new income stream idea in your existing business, or be it a new culture rollout in the company, the smart way to do things before we just blindly roll it out on impulse and our own, you know, views would be to actually beta test this and to stress test these ideas with three key groups of people. And that will end up creating a situation where you obviously have more data, you have more insight to say, hey, this really is a good idea and I'm not the only one. Especially with people that you want to work with. I mean, who are going to end up being your customers, your paying customers. It's very important that they find it a great idea as well and not just you, right? And so the three groups of people, before you just, you know, impulsively launch something, it would be really wise to cross-check this against three groups, and I want to delve into them right now. The first segment is obviously you, because as the founder, as the entrepreneur, as the business leader, as the CEO, of course, your idea, your innovation, your creation matters, and you have a very important, unique perspective that no one else would have, and this is something you shouldn't discount, right? So you shouldn't discount your genius, you shouldn't discount your own innovation, your creativity to make something out work and to put something out there and to innovate and create and come up with something entirely novel, entirely different, something with a USP, because you are the visionary behind it. So obviously your opinion matters, and you don't want to end up creating something where you're not excited about it, where you don't even buy into it, because then when you don't buy into something, there's no way that your clients and customers and team are going to buy into it at all, right? So you have to have buy-in from you. The second group that you want to have buy-in from is what I call the broader market. So in Trevor's story above, instead of assuming that matcha and egg tarts would be a good combination for sure, because nothing is ever for sure, he should have asked the market if they thought it was a good idea. And what is the market? The market are people who have loved both matcha and egg tarts, right? So Trevor could have gone around first to survey people who loved both matcha and egg tarts. And if an overwhelming 90% of people who love matcha and love egg tarts agreed that it was the best thing ever, that would have really given Trevor a great indicator of this being a hit, right? And, you know, if he had done that research, conversely, he might have found out that, hey, you know what? If less than 10% of all the people who love matcha and who love egg tarts, if less than 10% of the people think that is a good idea, maybe it really isn't that great. Maybe I should reconsider. Maybe I should have matcha and something else. Maybe I should have egg tart and something else, right? And this would have given Trevor a lot of data and insight before fully going all out 100% and then launching it, and then realizing after launching it that it wasn't maybe such a great idea after all. Right? So that could have saved him a lot of time and helped him refine his offer that is catered towards the broader market in advance of launching, rather than the other way around. And if Trevor had done this, obviously Trevor could have also avoided all the hassle of launching. He could have relooked at the call offer before the grand opening, and this would have saved Trevor not only time, but money, and also saved him confidence. And obviously there's the opportunity cost in all of this as well. So looking at the broader market as our second group is a really, really great way to get data and insight into whether or not an idea is good, whether or not an offer is good, whether or not you should actually launch that something into the market, right? And the third group is what I call the beta market. So even if the broader market, which was our second group, even if the broader market overwhelmingly agrees that matcha flavored egg tarts was the best thing on the planet, we still have to ask this question, which is what are their thoughts on your specific donuts, right? Because just because I think, you know, iced lattes are great doesn't mean that I think your iced latte at your cafe is great, right? So I personally love sushi, but there are some sushi restaurants that I would never revisit again just because they are like really not that great. And so you want to check not just a product market fit, but specifically you want to also check your own product and make sure that your product is different and better than the other options out there, right? You really want to make sure that your specific product, even if this idea and this product and this service and this offer is great and the broader market agrees, is yours, great? That's a different question altogether. And that's a very important distinction that I want to make there. And so rather than in the original story with Trevor just thinking, hey, you know, this is a great idea, getting super excited, very passionate about it, and just pops off, it might be actually smart to really think like, who are we actually working with here? Especially who are the buyers going to be? And with these buyers, actually give them a sample of what I'm planning to sell to get real-time feedback on that. Right? So the three groups of people, rather than just singularly relying on one opinion, which is highly risky in business, would be to check in with yourself, number one, the broader market, number two, and also the beta market, which is specific subgroup from the broader market that has tried your specific version of this thing that you want to offer. And it can give you like very, very relevant and very targeted feedback as well, right? So if you are an innovative business leader, business owner, or entrepreneur, and you're someone that really finds passion in trailblazing, creating, innovating in your business, chances are you've probably experienced a Trevor moment at least once in your life where you thought something would be a great idea and then you launched it and you realize, oh my God, this didn't quite turn out the way I expected it to, right? So in launching a new product, a new initiative, or a new idea, we often fail to consider that it's ultimately about the people, the market, the users, and the clients who really matter the most. So I hope you learned some key takeaways that you can really apply into your business. And this really applies not just to launching a new business, but like I said, a new idea in your existing business, a new offer in your existing business, a new revenue stream in your existing business. And this ties in and synergizes back to a lot of the work that I do with my one-on-one clients, which is how can we create very attractive high-ticket offers that appeals and call out to high-ticket buyers and actually sells out. So you, in that process, rather than chasing after leads, never having enough leads, always worrying about where are my new clients going to come from, you actually end up being able to attract inbound, higher ticket, high caliber clients who see your authority, who respect your work, and who come in to inquire. And that is done by really building up a highly distinguishable brand somewhere where you have a power position, you're different and better than other options in the market, and you consistently stay top of mind. And how we do this is by creating strategic, high leverage content that creates curiosity in the minds of your ideal clients, whether it's MDs, whether it's CEOs, whoever you're trying to reach. It creates curiosity and also showcases that you know your stuff and this is the person to work with. And we do that via content, depending on what your ideal client is and who you're exactly you're trying to reach. We can do this on LinkedIn, we can do this on Instagram, and that's how we create content that converts into clients and, most importantly, cash and your bottom line as well. So I hope you learned a thing or two in this episode. If you have any other questions on how to build a highly profitable niche, how to create a high ticket offer, how to attract high caliber clients like MDs and CEOs through social media to benefit your business, or how to close high ticket six figure deals, seven figure deals, and how to really create that seamless conversion and stay in control of the whole process. If you have specific questions on any of these, feel free to drop me a direct message. I'm most active on LinkedIn or Instagram, so you guys can reach me there. I love hearing from you guys, and I love that you're taking this time to listen to the Let's Kill It podcast. So I look forward to connecting with you guys online, on socials, and I will see you guys in the next
episode. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed creating it, and I hope it inspired you on your journey towards that next level in your business and life. Make sure to check out the description for show notes with a full rundown of all the juicy details and important links that you need. Also, make sure to share this with a friend if you found this useful, and subscribe here on Spotify or Apple Podcast. It would genuinely mean the world to me to hear from you, so share a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast and let me know which part of this episode resonated with you the most. In case no one's told you lately, you are amazing and absolutely capable of creating the extraordinary life that you dream of and deserve. Now it's time to go up there, do the hard stuff, and on Let's Kill It.